We're doing Rosh Hashanah. We're privileged to have our advanced learning here tonight. And one of the reasons we're sitting here tonight learning our advanced learning is because quite a few years ago, there was a young man named Meir Segedi who learned here. And he was one of the driving forces to get our advanced learning underway. So we'll dedicate our learning tonight to him. Hashem should bless him and give him continued success. We are up to four lines before the lines get wide. Daf Ches Amud Beis in Rosh Hashanah. And the Mishnah had said that another thing that begins on Aleph Tishrei, another thing that begins on Rosh Hashanah is Yovel, the Jubilee year. V'la Yovlot. Now we know that this is going to be sticky because we already saw the Gemara that told us that Yovel technically begins with the blast of the shofar on Yom Kippur. Yovel, blowing a ram's horn, right? That happens on Yom Kippur. Yovel literally is a ram's horn. That's what Yovel means. Hashem says you can ascend Sinai when you hear the blast of the ram's horn. So Yovel means a ram's horn. So the Mishnah says Yovel begins on Rosh Hashanah, and we know that's going to be a problem. So the Gemara right away asks, Yovlot bechad b'tishreyu, Yovel begins in one of the month of Tishrei. Yovlot b'yud b'tishreyu, Yovel begins in the 10th of Tishrei. Dichtiv, as the verse is, b'yom ha-kippurim, on Yom Kippur of the Jubilee year, ta'aviru shofar, that's when you pass the shofar, that's when you blow shofar, and all the slaves go free, that's when the Jubilee year sets in. So the Gemara answers, Ha Mani, who is the author of this Mishnah? Mani is always an identifier. Who is the author of this Mishnah? And when we have a little bit more time, we have to discuss how to understand that. But for now, we'll take it simplistically, that the Mishnah is going on in line with the opinion of Rabbi Ishmael ibn Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Rabbi Ishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. What does he say? He says that the Jubilee year has certain aspects that do begin from Rosh Hashanah. And we'll see that in the following Braisa, Ditanya. For the Braisa says, it says in the Torah, V'kidashtem et shenat ha-chamishim shana, you will sanctify that 50th year, the Jubilee year. Ma Talmud lomar, what does the verse mean, sanctify the whole year? Lefi she-nemar, being that the verse indicates that the Jubilee years begins on B'yom HaKippurim, the Torah says, you blow that shofar on Yom Kippur. So why does the Torah say the whole year is sanctified? Why does the Torah add this point, sanctify that year? Technically, it's not the whole year. It's only from Yom Kippur. Yachol lo teim mitkadeshet elam Yom Kippurim. Yachol always means I might say that the year will only be sanctified from Yom Kippur ve'eilach and onward. That's why the Torah tells me, V'kidashtem et shenat ha-chamishim, sanctify that whole 50th year. Melamed shemitkadeshet v'olechet mitchilata. This teaches me that the holiness of the year goes from the very beginning. The slaves only go free on Yom Kippur. So that's a problem. So what do I mean? It's holy from the beginning, but the slaves go free on Yom Kippur. Mikan amar b'yishmer b'nosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. From here, from this seeming contradiction, Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, taught that Rosh Hashanah ad Yom Kippurim, from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, lo ayu avadim niftarin lebatehen, the slaves, the Jewish slaves, would not go home, velo mishtavdin ladonihem, nor would they be in servitude to their masters. Ela, so what were they doing these 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur? Ochilin veshotin, they'd be partying, they'd be eating, they'd be drinking, vismechin, and they'd be happy, vetrotein berashehin, and they could wear a crown that shows that they're free men, even though they don't go back home. They're having a vacation at the master's expense. He can't tell them to work now, and he does have to feed them. So they have these last 10 days to party at his expense, and they could even wear a crown to indicate that they're now free men. Kevan shegei Yom Kippurim, and when Yom Kippur comes, taku betin bashofar, then the Beis Din blows the shofar, niftehu avadim lebatehem, and the slaves really go home, v'sadot chuzot lebalehen, and that's when the fields go back to their original owner. So, Rabbi Yishmael, b'no Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, holds that on Rosh Hashanah, the Jubilee year really begins. The slaves don't go free, the fields don't go back, but the slaves stop working, and our Mishnah would be a Stam Mishnah. Our Mishnah gives a tremendous backing to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, because the Mishnah states it plainly. Any Mishnah that's stated plainly is called a Stam Mishnah, which has even greater weight than Chachamim Omrim. It's a stronger Mishnah than if it would be Rabbim. It's a Stam Mishnah. That's a different point. Stam Mishnah very often is in line with Rabbi Meir's opinion, but Stam Mishnah has the weight of being a Stam Mishnah, which is stronger than the weight of Rabbim, of if it would say Chachamim Omrim. If our Mishnah would just say Chachamim Omrim Vila Yovlos, it would be weaker than when it's plainly stated in our Mishnah, which makes it a Stam Mishnah. The Rabbanan. So what are the rabbis who disagree with Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho v'Yochanan ben Broka? What do they do with that pasuk that says you sanctify the 50th year? What's the pasuk coming to teach me? So what do the rabbis do with that pasuk? If they don't say that Yom Kippur really begins from Rosh Hashanah, they don't agree with Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho v'Yochanan ben Broka. They say the slaves don't get those 10 days off. They got to work till Yom Kippur. So then why does the Torah describe it as the 50th year? Why, what's the Torah telling me? It's indicating a different halacha. It's teaching me, V'kidashtem, you sanctify et shnat ha-chamishim, the 50th year, to teach me, shanim atam kadesh, you sanctify the year, v'yatam kadesh chodashim, but you can't sanctify months. The years are what get sanctified. And that's not the stress as much as Iyatam Kadesh Chodashim, which is the opinion of Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon, who says that Bezdin has no role in sanctifying the months. Meaning they don't have to do Kiddush HaChodesh. Doesn't matter when the moon was seen, we don't need a declaration of Bezdin. The fact that it was seen, and Bezdin accepts the witnesses, that makes it the new month. Chachamim disagree. They say the Beis Din has to declare, we hereby sanctify Rosh Chodesh on this day. Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon says, no, this pasuk says, V'kidashtem, what do you sanctify? The 50th year. Beis Din has a role in sanctifying years, not in sanctifying months. And so Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon holds, Beis Din does not make a declaration about the month that this is Rosh Chodesh. They don't make a declaration about the new moon. So that's the other opinion, the alternate opinion to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho v'Yochanan ben Broka. That's what he does with that pasuk. Yes.
Just at this point where it said the Rabbanan, that's when we knew that the rabbis held something different from
Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho v'Yochanan ben Broka. So the rule is that when an opinion is quoted in the name of a specific Tana, then the assumption is that only he holds that. Anytime you have a Braisa or a Mishnah that quotes a halacha in the name of one Tana, the indication is only he holds that. Maybe you'll find the other people, but the assumption is there's this unknown group of rabbis who disagree. We don't know who they are. But when a Mishnah or a Braisa attributes an opinion to one person, it is by default telling me others disagree. And sometimes you'll find in the halacha that we paskin against him, even though the Gemara never overtly showed us anyone who disagrees with him. All we have is his opinion, but the poskim all assume if it's written in his name, so then only he held that way. So some Tanaim have enough weight that when they're loners, when they hold an opinion on their own, they still win, and other Tanaim do not. In this case, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho v'Yochanan ben Broka is not alone, because our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah like him. So the halacha should be like him. If this were all we had to calculate the halacha, we'd paskin like him.
Now, you're saying that when there's a quote from one rabbi, you know that there's a majority of rabbis against it.
I didn't say that exactly, but let's say yes.
And that also,
I said there's Rabbanan who disagrees.
Rabbanan
doesn't always mean a majority of rabbis. Over here, the Gemara calls it Rabbanan, and it's really one rabbi's opinion, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbanan is a term. Rabbanan can sometimes mean a rov and sometimes not. If we have no indication, then we'll say it's the rov. But sometimes we'll have an indication, and then we know that the deferring opinion can be, like in this case, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon. You'll see him in the second parak, and you could see him quoted in Rashi here.
Does that mean that it's just him?
Chachamim is also not a rov. Chachamim is given the rov weight, but Chachamim could sometimes mean he held it, and Rebbe and his courts decided to give it a rov weight. So technically you could say, Rebbe and his courts, they're the Chachamim that gave it that weight. Fine. That's how Rabbi Feinstein explained it. That how could Rebbe give a rov to one opinion just because he held that way? The answer wasn't only Rebbe. It was Rebbe together with his court. So then it becomes a chachamim. Then it becomes a rov. So technically you're right. Yes, chachamim is a rov. And then Rabbanan is also a rov, technically.
But
But again, you have to think about when it shows up. It's not always in a Mishnah, so it's not always with that vote. That vote could be the rabbi who's teaching the Mishnah.
When we see Rabbanan, and then we see later on the same opinion that was brought with the name, does that necessarily mean that it was just him, or just he brings the opinion? I mean, it could be a majority of people held it, and then they just brought it in his name.
Correct.
So it could be a...
Could be. Could be.
And that's what I thought about just having one...
To answer your question, I need to go through a lot, and this isn't the forum for it. As we learn, you'll see. Meaning the examples themselves will play itself out for you. To start going through all the examples, how the Gemara words it. Does the Gemara say Mani? Does the Gemara say Man Rabbanan? Or, different Lashonos. Each time we'll try to see as we go along.
When it's here, does it say that it says Rav what been broken?
Rabbi Shimon ben Osher v'Yochanan ben Brocha.
That's for sure just him?
No, because the Mishnah gave him the koach of Stam.
So it's...
The Mishnah gave him that koach, and the Braisa, it's only him, yes. Sometimes the Gemara will say, and this Braisa, it's only him. But two generations earlier, someone else said that, and two generations before that, someone else said that, and two generations before, someone else said that too. You have a Gemara in Ksubas that does that. It goes every two generations, shows us who held that opinion. And we don't paskin like that opinion. Okay, because each generation had its group of rabbis who disagreed, who outweighed the rabbis who held that way. Okay. Back to the Gemara.
Brother,
I'm with you.
We have 5 minutes. Maybe
do you? Tanya Yidach. Okay, we have another brisa, but thanks for the offer. Tanya Yidach. The other brisa says, the Torah says about Yovel. Yovel he. It is Yovel. The 50th year, don't plant, don't harvest. Matan mudloma, why does the Torah stress it is Yovel? So the Braisa says like this, Lefish ne'emar v'kiddushtem shnat chamishim, being that the Torah says, sanctify the 50th year, and from that we understand that the sanctification begins from Rosh Hashanah, from the beginning of the year. Yachol, I might say, just as the sanctification begins from the beginning of the year, from Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, I might say, so then maybe the sanctity should continue past Rosh Hashanah till next year's Yom Kippur. Maybe after Rosh Hashanah, I should be prohibited from planting and harvesting until Yom Kippur comes in the year after Yovel. Don't think that's a funny idea. Because we have a rule in all areas, in Shemitah, in Yom Kippur, in Shabbos, we have halacha, which it seems is Doraisa, or halacha al-Moshe Misinai, that you always have to add on to the sanctity. We always add. We add to Shabbos, we add to Yom Kippur, we add to Shemitah. So maybe, just like I add in the beginning of Shabbos and I add at the end of Shabbos, if the Torah indicated to me that I should add at the beginning of Shemitah, even though Shemitah technically begins with Yom Kippur, the Torah indicated to me, according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher v'Yochanan ben Brocha, that I should add from Rosh Hashanah, so then maybe I should also add after next year's Rosh Hashanah, going up to Yom Kippur, that the Yovel year should end with Rosh Hashanah, maybe I should also add when that Yovel year ends, I should go until Yom Kippur. That's why the Torah had to say, Tilmod Lomar, that's why the Torah taught me and said, Yovel hi shnat ha-chamishim shana. It is Yovel, that 50th year. What is it coming to the exclusion of? Shnat ha-chamishim ata mikadesh, sanctify that 50th year alone. It is Yovel, Yovel hi. It is Yovel, it alone is Yovel. But you do not carry over the sanctification to the 51st year.
That would be from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur.
Correct.
51.
Correct.
But what about your Rosh Hashanah from...
In year 50, I added from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. That's Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher v'Yochanan ben Brocha.
And it says 50 dafka.
Yovel hi shnat ha-chamishim.
What's the kiddush of the year?
You can't harvest, you can't plant.
Shemitah?
Yeah. Yovel's like Shemitah, yes. Tanya Idach is another brisa in line with the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher v'Yochanan ben Brocha. That was a braita in line with his opinion. Now we're going to come back at the Rabbanan and say, okay, now what do you do with that drasha? The Rabbanan, and what do the Rabbanan, if they hold that the year doesn't have sanctification from Rosh Hashanah, so they don't need any pasuk to teach me you don't go into the year 51, you have no source to say you would go. So then what do they do with that pasuk? That's to teach me, Shnat Chamishim Atamoneh, Ve'i Atamoneh, Shnat Chamishim Ve'achat. They say, when you're counting the years, I'm going to count seven cycles, let's say, right? Seven cycles of Shemitah. And then I have a Yovel year. Does that Yovel year count as year number one towards the next cycle or not? So that's a Machlokas Tanoim. It's a Machlokas Rambam Geonim, where the Rambam says, I think we should go like this, but the Geonim have a tradition to go like that, so we have to go with the Geonim. And the Ravid comes and attacks and says, no, we don't. We have to go with the Rambam's logic. It's the one place where the Ravid says, you should go with the Rambam, and the Rambam says, don't go with the Rambam. Rambam says, I think like this, but the Geonim say like that, so we'll go with them. They have a tradition like that.
Does you go 50, 51, 0, as opposed to starting over again?
We always start over. The question is year number 50 also year number 1, or is year number 50 out of the count, and then I start year number 1? It's a very big machloket. I don't remember. You can look it up. You have over here the Aleph. Look it up. Maimoniot Perikyud.
I've been thinking about that for a long time.
Oh, so it's a machloket tonight. So, Rabbanan say, when the Torah says Shnat Chamishim, what the Torah was saying is, you count it as year number 50 alone. But year number 50, you do not count as year number 1. Year number 1 begins the year after year number 50. That's what they derive. The Torah tells me, Shnat HaChamishim, this year counts as number 50 alone. It does not count as year number 1 towards the next cycle. Shnat HaChamishim Atamoneh, V'Atamoneh, Shnat HaChamishim Ve'achat. You don't count it both as year number 50 and year number 1. Lapuki mid Rabbi Yehuda, to the exclusion of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, De'amar for Rabbi Yehuda holds, Shnat Chamishim ula lekan ulekan, that year number 50 counts as both. And now, you understand this is a huge nafkamina. It's a difference of, does the Shemitah fall out a year earlier every Yovel cycle? Kamash malan de'lo, that's what the Pasuk teaches me, you should not count like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay, now this big concept of adding on to holiness, where do we get that from? And that's where we'll pick up Bezrat Hashem tomorrow with this big concept of Yom Kippur and Shemitah and all over Mosif and Mechol al HaKodesh. Yeah. Kamash Malan Delo, Nekuda, end of this sugya. Now we go back to the next question. You mentioned Osafa Mechol al HaKodesh. Now let's see, where do we actually get that from?
Wait a second. So we have...